Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Nico, how are we doing today?
We're doing really, really good. Doing very good. Because the reports are out.
And all of them.
The productivity's up and the profits are up. So no stories about AI cliff and AI bubble this morning. Real weird. I'm sure I could find one if I go digging. I'm sure somebody is really silly enough to keep talking about it. But yeah, no, I'm feeling real good. Some new reports out and a new table altogether about AI, not ROI, just how much AI has increased productivity. And that's getting put together by the AI Daily Brief. And they are collecting, if you have any stats to share with them, if you have any stories about implementation of AI where you saw a reduction in anything, doesn't matter whether it was time, doesn't matter whether it was in reduction in time to increase profit, doesn't matter whether it was a matter of being able to use it to fulfill a role that was non-existent. So in pulling some of the data together that they've got already, polling shows that even though the majority of the financial aspect, the financial gains, are being seen in large to enterprise scale companies, which makes sense. You're already rolling. You know, it's one of those things where that's going to affect it the most because of the fact of the chain reaction being so big, right? Smaller companies, smaller reverberation. So it is being seen in SMBs and startups, but it's just not. I think the difference there, which isn't being covered in this report, which I think is important and should get covered in like an overall state of AI report at some point, hint, hint, that the not only where it's saving time, but how many new companies are being formed as a result of it. So I think there's a multitude of measures to be had when it comes to measuring AI's impact on revenue and AI's impact on the economy. Sure, you have the impact of what's currently in place, but we already are starting to see this just magnanimous explosion of solopreneurs and people with just all new side gigs, right? And we're seeing a whole new fleet of millionaires in the U.S., whole new fleet of people just broke the 100,000 a year barrier this year. It's awesome. Basically, it's an awesome day. Looking at some positive news.
And guess what? I'm betting they're not worried about the ROI of AI. Yeah. Like, they just know, right?
So here's what's kind of funny is like the not, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll give you this. That is true, but it's true of the for-profit public corps. So it's true of the shareholders. Right. Yeah. They need to see because they can't see the productivity. Right. They need to see the monies.
Right. Well, I think that's where like I think the difference in like startup and SMBs, like we just can't see it. Like they're not built to track things, experiment effectively and report on that experimentation. Like Fortune 500, 100, whatever you want to call it, they're up there because they have their shit together. Like overall, like they have training programs, they have effective change management. When they do experiments, they do track it and measure it and they figure that stuff out before they do what they need to do because everybody is fine tooth combing every investment made, every dollar in, every dollar out, right? Now that will inherently, get in the way of quick change sometimes, but when they do decide to like, okay, we're all on board and we're making this decision, right? We talk about sometimes their lack of agility, but when the ship starts going in that direction, it's going for 3 to 6 months, and they're going to track it effectively. And so I would imagine that's a big part of the difference that we're going to see. And like, I think we've mentioned this a lot, like the difference right now is it's just mindset, because once you decide to transform into the age of AI, AI will help you do that and will continue to get better at helping you do that as fast as you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you are in the SMB in mid-market, like you've had a window here as the large and enterprise orgs figure this out, steer the ship. But like once they steer it and once they get, like, you might not have to keep up with them, but if that's anywhere near like taking market share from them or doing anything where you see they're a big target on the wall because they're slow moving and whatever, they're going to get the same help as everybody else. And they have resources and much more effective strategies for implementation and all this stuff. That's just going to like, it's like going to be putting nitrous in the back of the ship. And once that weight, once that mass starts going forward, there will be no catching up. Right?
Yep. Hands down. It's going to be the way. And like, you know, this is the way. Everybody is going to have the same cheat sheet. Everybody's going to have the same like playbook in terms of like, so that's why it's almost like what I love is that everybody looks at this as like, oh, well, you're just going to end up with a bunch of templated stuff. Right. And it's like, well, we have a bunch of templated stuff now. Right. We can all tell when something templated hits your email inbox. We can tell when something templated hits your regular mailbox. You can tell when there's a templated text or a call, right? It happens now, and we're not even like this is stuff isn't fully rolled out. So I'm not really sure what the like I don't get it. I'm not really sure what the worry or the concern is there, or why that's even a higher concern than it should already be. But what I can see is that when everybody has the same capability like that, at that point, it forces everyone to be unique. That's the thing, is there's just this natural effect. That's what I love about the universe, is that there's just natural balance, right? There has to be. From destruction, there is creation. So if you're saying that AI is going to destroy the idea, this current idea of creativity by creating this uniform thing along the way, then the natural effect of that is that there's going to be this creative revolution where there's going to be people who want everything to be different, right? It's naturally going to take place. So, and what's nice is that we're already seeing artists of all types. We're seeing, whether physical art, digital art, music, all acclimating to using some type of AI tool with what they do. Starting to see people who never, like myself, never thought that they would get into programming or designing applications or doing any of that stuff, that are doing it. People who never thought that they would design or develop content are doing it, right? This whole idea of people being able to do what they want to do is starting to come to fruition. That's going to lead to more and more people, again, who are able to start their own businesses. Like, I really do think that the natural measure of this is going to be how many entrepreneurs happen on an annual basis. Like, yes, we're going to see, look, what's happening with, what's happening with NVIDIA is exactly what I thought was going to be the case. You know, they did this stock split earlier, and when it split down to 100, I said, yeah, by December it's going to be back up to 200. It's just a no-brainer. They will cover the loss or whatever. And sure enough, stepping right on the door of being at 200, right? And I mean, yeah, that doesn't put them at exactly a $5 trillion cap. I think they'd have to be at like 220 or something like that, 225. but they're nearly at a $5 trillion cap, right? I forget the, it's Wegovy. So Wegovy, right? Weight loss company got there by AI development. It's not like they got there because humans figured it out, magically figured out what the formula was going to be, right? We've been trying for centuries, decades, at least with modern science. Anyhow, that company is now worth more than the country it resides in. Yeah, you didn't. Nope, that wasn't. I know. Seems like it's really crazy. One company, and let me see where it's at. I can't.
Yeah, and I'll just say, like, kudos to the people that are trying to combat. I'm sure that, I have to imagine this is some of the intent, but if they're being objective, then we'll never, admit to this. But like, combat some of the negative ROI reports and negative, like, where's the value? Combating that stuff with creating the space for positive reporting. As much as I bag on all these numbers and stuff, if there's going to be spun narrative on one side, it helps to have it on the other side too. I'll just say I do look forward, and this maybe gives me an app idea, Nico, to just having AI as an effective, barometer of where we are at in AI sentiment analysis by actually looking at behavior across social, across the web, like in a truly objective way. Because the reason I bag on most marketing and sales and industry report surveys that aren't scientifically like spun and backed is because it is so hard to create survey questions that do not lead the survey respondent, that actually create objective, unbiased answers from that audience, like in the way that you position the survey and the way that all the questions are answered and are asked and formatted. So all of that introduces bias. So most of the work that's done when it's scientifically backed is getting rid of the bias. Like, how do we account for like all these different variables that we know are going to, because as soon as the data gets biased, the data cannot be presented in an objective truth kind of way. You can still present it, but you got a list at the end. You're like, oh, these 10 biases are impacting the data. So it ends up being like, grain of salt.
Yeah.
Right. AI is going to be able to come in and already is in a lot of places. And it's
not necessarily,
it can't have like, the bias. Like, it won't start with the bias. We start with the bias.
So that is fairly true. Like, and if somebody can say it to the other side, I would love to hear it. But I would say that is true. I've never come across, granted, I don't ask the bot like opinion on, I don't know, social subjects where bias would actually play into the conversation. Let's say I do have plenty of conversations with Claude, never experienced bias ever. In all my conversations with GPT, never experienced bias. The only bias I experienced with Claude and Google is that they prefer their models over OpenAI. And that's the only bias I've come across, but I agree that like you're able to take this compendium of knowledge and being able to query that in the same way that you query your CRM knowledge, or and of course adding that to the dog pile, right? That's where you start to get this like real inference. Naturally a project. But yeah, definitely something that we can work on. And something that people should be looking into. Again, what I'm working on and what will end up being in market isn't going to be the only one. It'll be one of many, and other people will have something like it soon after it deploys. But it's a matter of that, everybody having the same tool. Once everybody has the same tool that enables you, so like I was talking to a group of people yesterday that of course had the whole the myth mentality that like, oh, AI is not going to transform everything and everything is going to stay the same way for a very, very long time. And it's going to be a while before we transition. And look, while I don't believe that whatsoever, I do believe that there will be parts of the U.S. that choose to move forward and parts of the U.S. that choose to stay the way things are. That I definitely can see happening. But regardless, as things go forward, everything becomes even. And as everything becomes even, you have to work even harder to become more unique. So this whole idea of like, oh, AI is going to come along, it's going to replace jobs, and all of a sudden there's not going to be anything to do. And all of a sudden there, you know, the jobs are going to be meaningless, all that kind of thing, right? Even if the creativity is there, right? Even if the AI can be as creative as a person can, don't you still have to have a conversation to get there? Still takes two. It's not like the robot's going to just show up like, hey, new mural you want? Hey, got new marketing campaign. You go, what do you think? Right? The immediate reaction is like, okay, let me take a look at it, but I didn't really ask for it, so I'm not really sure that we need to do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so like, unless somebody asks for it, it's going to see it.
Opinion,
it's like inefficient. Right? Like, why would I spend time on that if somebody's not asking for it directly?
Yeah.
Right. And I think like, maybe for me, it's more about communicating and representing your uniqueness. Your uniqueness will get harder. But only for me, only if you overthink it, like, cause even in the places where they don't move forward, or choose to live in a different era, that already happens. Like where, like, I think the lightest example is like when we have like 80s parties and like stuff like that, like there are people to take those things to different levels where it's like, I'm just going to decide like I decorate my house like in this style of like from wherever in the last 2000 years, like, right. And you're going to be able to, that's the part that will be your creativity in how you live your life and how you move around. And we're not going to, like, when we talk about this, everybody has access to the same technology. There's going to be these things where if you want to do that thing, like, you'll have to consider it as a hobby. And if you're suggesting that it's more efficient or more profitable to have you do it, and it's very clearly defined that AI is better at that thing, these tools that exist, this foundation already exists that is zero cost, goes faster, right? Let's not, it's like the standardization layer of based on the infrastructure of society. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to, I don't have to spend any time on that. So I get to build on top of that creatively wherever I want to do what I want. That's where the creative explosion is going to be. And it's naturally, it's almost like if I, like the ship scenario where the big ship and the mass and the weight of these big companies starts moving forward and creates this just ridiculous wake right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were behind, if you were trying to ride that wake, or ride behind that ship, you will get sucked in and you will be lost. But anybody that's outside of that wake, like, first of all, they won't be able to get in, and you won't want to, right? But there'll be this blue ocean of just being you, how you want to live your life, how you want to help other people, where it will be like a safe space and there'll be wind when you need it. And like, just design your own like human experience, basically, because AI has figured out all the bullshit for you, like, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You want me to share your screen here?
Yeah, you can. I came across this late yesterday. And this is sort of just like an example of, again, everything's sort of becoming like horizontally the same. So what you're looking at is a new LLM contender that is absolutely open source. So even though you're looking at the web interface, this is it's an open source application, so you can absolutely just download this to your desktop and run it off your desktop. No Google accounts. Come on, that would make it so easy, though. There we go.
If that word means what I think it means, I'm really excited. In terms of min-max.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. They are definitely trying to do, and if you guys have been following along, we've been talking about like what min-max looks like. The application is actually called Minimax, but it stands to reason. How powerful is this by comparison to like the other coders? We've showed you like some of the vibe coding stuff. And like it's pretty good. Let me see, because Chris knows how much I abhor typing if I can avoid it. Testing. Just to make sure, because I mean it should, but yep, okay. Hey, so what I would like to do is build out an application that's basically a CRM, but super easy to use, minimalist in nature, and framed around sales and service. So that's like the most like seriously basic. I would never in a million years would I ever give this to a vibe coder and walk away and be like, yeah, okay, well, what it comes back with is going to be awesome. No, I would have spent like 3 hours working with Claude and GPT and stuff like that to actually put this together and put together like a plan and everything like that, and then come back and then start going forward with this. Obviously what you're looking at is an agentic builder, agentic model altogether. So it's obviously going forward and thinking about doing the plan, right? You can see that it's a thinking model as well, but the nice part about it is that it doesn't think long about things that shouldn't take like a second to reply, versus GPT would probably combine everything and then reply all at once, right? Let's see.
And I'm imagining like you're in like the office and you're basically like game planning the project out right. loud with somebody else. And instead yeah. of being like, all right, I hear you, Nico, let me just turn around and then do all my thinking and then write everything down. And then I'm going to turn back around and then say everything that I just came up with. Instead, yep. it's like, oh yeah, so if we want this, all right, so that, yep, okay. And then just that over and over.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah, why not?
That is something I'm enjoying in many spots, is just the adjustments in the responses, even in Claude, where it's like, instead of being this huge chunk at the front of the response, where he goes and checks all the stuff. Like he checks some stuff, responds, checks some more stuff, responds. Like that wasn't always that way, right? But as these adjustments get made, it starts to streamline the experience. Meanwhile, I still have to hit enter on the chat twice because the first time it just broke in half and you don't know why. So not all sunshines and rainbows yet.
No,
but not progress yet. Is being made. And what the reason I said Minimax, I get excited about that, is this concept of like small language models versus large language models and the contextual engineering you can do inside of that spectrum. Basically, I mean, the way I see what we're doing in HubSpot, when we talk about things like unifying the business context, you're basically turning HubSpot into a small language model, like designed for your business. And when you're using, when you're talking to Breeze, that's you chatting like with that model, right? And the more tools that come out, and so you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but basically, related to gaming, it's like, you know, what's the minimal amount of specifications required? And at every point, as you change those specifications, what is the maximum, like finding the maximum output for every configuration, right?
Yeah.
So as coders get better, and this is the path for me, this is the path for them developing their own language too, like their own way of doing this, like figuring out what works and then not doing anything else, right? Is that, yeah, is that how you see, like, is that what Minimax
meaning
here?
I mean, yeah, I see it meaning, because if you looked at the comparison on like LLM Arena or any measure, it is like, it is at the same level as GPT-5 and Claude 4.5, Sonnet, and Gemini Pro. It's a little behind Gemini Pro, but not much. So yeah, I think it represents, you know, and what's funny is like, this thing drops. It's so silent. I don't hear anything this morning. And DeepSeek dropped, and that practically tanked the market. So there's also this thing of like industry understanding that, yeah, open source can get there, but it gets there way after Frontier gets there. But I think it's, I think Minimax represents one of the first real signs of abundance with this technology. I know that OpenAI stuff is like really crazy good, but at the same time, this is as good, right? OpenAI or whatever the OOS, standalone. It's nice, but it's not quite as powerful as what people would like it to be. It's, again, it's really good, but it's just not quite as powerful, and takes more system resources than people would like in order to use it. Whereas this is a bit more of a fine-tuned model, works extremely well with coding, and yeah, is completely open source. So it's, it represents the antithesis of the frontier.
Yeah. So hit that button and it will show the results tomorrow. But what I'm hearing is like, basically, if you were to go and like be in a space, like let's say you go to Inbound and there's 15,000 people there, and you know that some of them could probably code you a CRM, but you would have to go through all 15,000 to figure out which ones can do it and how fast. That's like GPT, right? In these cases of these smaller when you hear the smaller parameter models, like it's, imagine if you just go to the, man, this analogy is perfect. If you go to the meetup of the CRM designer people, then bam, like they're all there ready to like, you don't have to wade through any non-contextual resources to get to the answers you need. Right, that's how I'm like, helpful for me to view it, at least when it comes to small language versus large language, and why you're hearing these kinds of efficiency gains And it's really just starting to be tapped into, which is really exciting to think about. So this is where we start to attack this from all sides and get help from AI innovation at the same time. It's just, it's not slowing down, folks. So we'll be here tomorrow to show you the result of this quick CRM, you know, just a little CRM, you know, build out of a brand new CRM application. So come back tomorrow and we'll show you some results and we'll talk through it together. Have a great day, everybody.
See you guys.